thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. It's a sad day. I'm here, my boy Ray Jeezy. We're waiting on Will T. He's running a little late. What's going on, Ray?
Happy New Year's. First show of the new year.
You know, yeah,
obviously, on a difficult note, we have our first show, but
yeah.
It's interesting that we start off the new year with such sad news. However, kind of like the song says, the show goes on, yeah. Life goes on, and you just celebrate the life of Kobe Bryant today.
Yeah, man. When I got the news, man, I was shocked. We're going to get into it later, but I was just shocked. I thought it was a joke.
Everybody was shocked. I mean, disbelief, denial, you didn't want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it seems as though just the bond that he developed with his daughter, which seemed to be at the forefront of just the news lately. Didn't it seem like they kept showing him courtside, you know, whether it's talking to Luka or dapping up LeBron. It seems like all of these things came to the forefront at this time when, you know, he unfortunately lost his life.
And they were super tight. I mean, obviously, you know, he put a lot into her. She was a baller.
She was ready.
She was ready, man. It's just sad. We'll get into all that. But subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this, but he's running late. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the life of Kobe Bryant and his legacy. We'll have round ball reports on Lex Diamond on the show at 8:30. We'll talk about Super Bowl 54 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Finally, at 8:50, we'll discuss welterweight Danny Garcia's victory over Ivan Rekach Saturday night. But first, right now, we have the homie Lex Diamonds on the line. What's going on, Lex?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? Happy New Year.
What's up, brother? Good to hear you. Good to hear your voice. I guess this new year, you know, it's been a while since we've had you on for different reasons. But nonetheless, here we are, man. It's unfortunate circumstances, though.
Yeah, definitely understand.
Yeah, Lex, man, when you heard the news that Kobe Bryant passed, what came to your mind?
Well, I was in shock. I didn't want to believe it. Mm-hmm. I had taken a nap Sunday and woke up around 2:30, and one of my cousins had a text message from a cousin, and he just said Kobe is dead, and I was like, huh? And I'm thinking that he's joking with me because, you know, LeBron had broken Kobe's record the night before. So I'm thinking he's joking with me.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I text him back. I'm like, huh? And then he said, helicopter. And then so I'm at that point, I'm like not halfway believing what he's saying. So I Googled. You know, that's usually what I do. Mm-hmm. If you want to find information, you just Google, put a name in Google. And nothing popped up. And then when I did Kobe crash, TMZ, and it was two other media outlets that had something about Kobe Bryant. Now, TMZ, you take TMZ serious, but then you're like, well, it's only three. Then you go to CNN, you go to ESPN.com, and you don't see anything.
Right.
So you're not believing
them. Yeah.
But then I get another text from another friend. A longtime friend, his wife is out in L.A. for the Grammys. He texts me, and he's like, Kobe with a question mark. And then I'm just like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, my wife is watching the L.A. news, and they're saying that Kobe's helicopter crashed, and he's dead or whatever. And at that moment, I'm still, like you said, I'm still in shock, still on TV now, searching, still nothing CNN, still nothing ESPN. And finally, I flipped the Fox, you know, fake news. Fake news was saying that Kobe Bryant was gone. And at that moment, it's just like you just staring in space at that point because you just can't believe it, that this guy is really gone.
Wally, yourself as well. Does it make it different for you guys being that you rooted for Kobe so much, whereas some of us rooted against him? Now, I know we're just talking about on the sports level, not obviously going beyond that, but still, is it a difference when you're a Lakers fan?
Absolutely. If you're really a part of Laker Nation, you really bleed purple and gold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you think about Los Angeles and the success they've had over the years, you know, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, Jerry West are generally at the top of the list, along with Kobe Bryant, you know, and Kobe kind of surpassed, I think, a lot of us Laker fans that grew up during the, you know, watched the Lakers during the 80s. Kobe came in, him and Shaq, in the 90s, and kind of, you know, put the Lakers on their back and made them relevant again, you know, after the Magic Johnson Showtime Lakers. And then when the rift between Kobe and Shaq happened, you know, some of the Laker fans, you know, kind of had to make a choice. Some went with Shaq, some stayed with Kobe. I was one of those that kind of, you know, ride or die with Kobe. My dad jokes with me all the time. He's like, you know, you're like, you know, Kobe's like your distant, you know, distant brother from another mother. I rode with Kobe, got in many debates, you know, about Kobe and Jordan and Kobe and Vince Carter and Kobe and Tracy and Kobe and Ray, Kobe and Iverson, and now, you know, the Kobe LeBron saga. But yeah, it definitely hurts. I've been in a funk the last couple of days. You know, I met him. I had a chance, you know, his last game in D.C., you know, during the warm-up. I was standing literally right beside this guy on the sideline. And I know Wally was, I think Wally was probably at that game. And it was just, it was unbelievable to be that close to a guy that you really, you know, you respect as an athlete, as a person, and just to be standing right beside him while he's shooting threes. I mean, he's literally bumping me, and he's not saying nothing. He's so focused. I'm that close. I'm on the floor, and of course, I took a selfie. I would be just all access if I didn't take a selfie. But just being able to say that, you know, I did have an opportunity to meet him and to cover him, and you know, I've watched many Laker games live as well as, you know, on television, and you know, he by far was the most entertaining basketball player that we've seen in 20 plus years. It's Michael Jordan.
Man, it's to me, being a Laker fan, lifelong Laker fan. You know, Kobe, when you look at Kobe as a Laker fan, you're like, it's because you saw him in our era. You saw him grow. I think that's the most important thing. And we all got to recognize, we talk about Kobe in terms of why it hurts so much. You saw the 17-year-old kid, you know, he comes in green, but he comes in confident, you know, against the Utah, in that Utah Jazz series when he's playing with Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel, Shaquille O'Neal, and he takes the big shot. You know, he airballs it, but it makes him a stronger basketball player to a point where he comes back the following season, becomes a six-man all-star type of player. And then after that, he supplants Eddie Jones and becomes a starter for the Lakers. So when you look and the story goes on with Kobe Bryant in terms of, you know, using fuel to make him a great player. And I've always said this about Kobe Bryant, you know, that he is one of the more hardworking players, period, the game has ever seen. Because you mentioned Vince Carter, and I've always used this argument that Vince Carter, to me, if you talk about God-given ability, is probably one of the more talented players ever in terms of God-given ability. Athleticism, agility, all that. But Kobe Bryant had that dog in him in terms of outworking the next person, and you saw it every day or every outing he had on that court. And that's the thing that hurts, you know what I mean? Like, to me, Kobe Bryant represents something more than greatness, to be honest with you. He represents hard work, dedication to achieve a goal that many can't achieve. You know what I'm saying? Like, we say this in life, like, we work hard enough. You know what I'm saying? We work hard enough. We hope to achieve something. Well, a lot of times we half-ass stuff. I was about to curse. But Kobe Bryant is an individual, didn't half-ass anything. He worked hard, and he achieved the dream.
Well, the interesting...
Go ahead. Definitely achieved the dream. And, you know, when you think back when he was drafted, I want to say he was drafted the same year Allen Iverson.
Yeah, he was. He was in Iverson's draft.
Mm-hmm. Ray Allen.
Yeah, uh-huh, Ray Allen.
And when you think about that draft, you know how great Allen Iverson was. You watched him at Georgetown, and we watched Ray Allen win a national championship at UConn.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw how great those guys were. Those were, you know, the up-and-coming shooting guards coming into the league.
Kerry
but you had kind of heard a buzz about this kid from Philly, you know, Philadelphia, that was supposed to be like the next coming for Michael Jordan. You know, you heard him taking Brandy to the prom, and you saw highlights of Kobe, and you was like, wow, this kid's going to be great. And then when the rumblings were that he was going to end up being traded to the Lakers, you know, in my mind, I'm like, wow, we're about to get Shaq, and we're about to get this kid who's about to be like the next coming of Michael Jordan. It was, you know, like electrifying. And then when he finally got a chance to play in that summer league game, and he did the dunk, really that was the dunk heard around the world, just to let everybody know, like, yeah, I'm in the NBA now. And he dunked on the Wizards in that summer league game. He let you know right then and there, even though he was on a team with Van Exel, Eddie Jones, and Shaq, and Elgin Campbell, and all those guys, he let you know right then and there that he was coming to bring it. And he brought it every chance he got to, you know, to be on that court. He really tried to entertain, especially the early part of his career. He really entertained the fans with the dunks and the layups and the reverse layups. And I mean, just the acrobatic athleticism that he displayed, I think, as his career developed and went on. Without Shaq, you know, he started to shoot more jump shots, fadeaways, and, you know, started to be more of a mental game for him. But he evolved, you know, from going from employee number eight to number 24 and then to the Black Mamba. And his whole mentality changed. And it's just amazing, this guy. He wanted to be like Mike. He was the closest thing to Mike that we've seen. And, I mean, he led the Lakers to 7 NBA Finals. And they won 5. I mean, that in itself was spectacular. And he will, no question, go down as the greatest Lakers. Magic Johnson, you know, reiterated the other night, because, you know, he pretty much embodied what you want from a Laker player. You want somebody to be focused on winning championships and try to pull your teammates and try to get them on that same mindset. And that's all he really wanted. He was just trying to get everybody on the same mindset. Let's accomplish this goal. Let's win this championship. And that's really, you'll never forget Kobe Bryant from that perspective.
I want to quickly put something out here that also separates Kobe from others. We have this discussion right now about mental health. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Love, the unfortunate videos of Delonte West that we've seen recently, and there's a growing discussion about mental health, right? Now, Kobe, he was fueled, if you listen to him off camera and also if you watch his documentaries, he was fueled by symptoms of depression and coming from Italy and not knowing anybody and not knowing the lingo in Philly and not knowing how to dress and not having many friends. And basketball was his therapy. When he got accused of rape and got back on the court, that's, according to him, where the Black Mamba kind of really evolved, because he just had to create an alter ego to deal with the stress that he was having in his life. And it's a therapist. He never took medicine. He used basketball. He was that competitive. And that's sometimes what made people dislike him. But it's, to me, astonishing how he used the game as his mode of coping, and as his method of coping, I should say. And not all can do that, but that's what made him a winner, man, because he was just so obsessed with it. And he even talked about he tried other ways. He tried to drive to the campus at UCLA to look at college kids because he didn't get that experience. But that didn't help. It was all about basketball. Everything in his life revolved around it. And that's why I thought retirement was going to be tough. But what made it dope is that when he did retire, he was able to transition into, you know, a family man. And that was great to see, because before that, he sacrificed so much just to be great, to where he alienated himself. He at times damaged relationships, but it didn't matter to him. All he knew is, this is what I had. This is, you know, where I'm revered, and this is where I escape all of the tough aspects of my life. And that's how he dealt with his life's problems. And it's amazing. And again, that's what separated him, because not all of us can do that. It's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, like, if you kind of look at their careers, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, when Mike came in the league, there was no other player that played like Michael Jordan.
Nope.
You know, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, you know, they got a lot of the accolades. And, you know, and Dr. J was kind of, you know, at the tail end when Mike came in the league. But Mike was so different than everybody that played, you know, so he never really had You know, he never really had that competition, in my opinion. You know, he played Detroit and it took him 3 years to beat them, and they had the great Celtics, but they were aging, and Magic was aging, the Lakers were aging. So he never really had, he never had the villains to kind of go up against him. You know, because even like the Trailblazers, Clyde Drexler, he was on the West Coast, you know, with Portland, and he didn't get a chance to play Michael Jordan but twice a year. Where Kobe had to kind of deal with the ghost of Michael Jordan. And then while he was playing, he had guys like Ray Allen, who were really great players. Allen Iverson, really great player. Vince Carter, really great player. Tracy McGrady, really great players. And those were the players that he always had to work harder than to be better than. You know what I'm saying? Not only was he trying to be better than Mike, but he also had to deal with all of his peers. Yeah. And they forced him to work harder and to kind of hone his game to be the best, you know, shooting guard of his era. And then, you know, once he kind of established himself as the top dog, and then you had the next group coming up, the LeBron James and the Carmelo Anthony's and the Dwayne Wade. That group came up and kind of forced Kobe to take it to another level to compete the Dirk Nowitzki's and for him to have to always try to make his game, you know, as top flight as possible, you kind of have to tip your hat to this kid. I mean, he put up 61 points in his final game, man. That's insane when you think about it. His last game after 20 years in basketball, he was still capable of putting up a 61-point game. Mm. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It sure is. But, hey, Lex, before I let you go, my man, let our listeners know how they can reach you and, you know, give us any parting shots you want to, you know, talk about in terms of Kobe Bryant.
Well, I guess my parting shots was, you know, just disappointed that we never really got to see post-Kobe. We didn't get to see a lot of post-Kobe because he's, you know, gone so soon. He was a great father, businessman, and you know, he was doing some really great things. And his legacy will live, you know, forever. And, you know, it's really, you know, really sad. And my condolences goes out to his wife, Vanessa, and his three daughters, and his, you know, his mother and father and his family and everything. But, yeah, man, he will be definitely missed but never forgotten.
Oh, damn.
But if you want to follow me, social media, you know, it's Lex Diamonds without the A. On everything, and you know, Facebook, I've been just doing tributes to Kobe. Pretty much every social media platform I have,
I get it.
Kinda just been giving the tributes to the guy, man, because you know, he was my favorite basketball player of this era.
Yeah, man, definitely.
No question about it.
Definitely one of the best of all time, man. I appreciate you, Lex, man. Thanks for being on, my man.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me.
All right, no problem. That's Lex Diamonds from the Round Ball Report. We're about to go to break, man. We're going to continue this Kobe discussion. You listen to Urban Sports Lane. Never mind. Will T. You went no for ages?
You didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry, because you're late. That's all good.
You ain't introduced me.
Oh, Will. I said Will T. Hey, Will T's in the building.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Kobe called. Kobe Bryant, everybody. I want you to stay relentless. The Black Mamba, you take us.
All right, I got you.
Okay? You're the man.
A long journey. We're ready to go. Now, I don't want to be a one-man show. I have decided to skip college and take my talent to the NBA.
Welcome to the Kobe Show. Take two.
And the other forward for the final time, number 24 on the floor, Fixon. Five-time world champion, Kobe Bryant.
Shot clock at three for Mack. Guarded by Bryant. Kobe's got the board, the hit ahead to Clarkson. Maybe more shots and get him to 50 on his farewell night. Double comes. Pitch to Clarkson. Late shot clock. Clarkson.
Nice. We have 100 international players in the league. We have 9 players from Brazil this year. I think that would surprise a lot of people.
45.
Five and a half to go. He's got a shot.
John has referred to him as he and Kobe have a very special, unique bond. Bryant gets to the basket and has 47 points.
When you have a good trainer, the player.
Kobe. See if he gets 50 here. Bryant going to the basket. Kobe
yes.
Bryant.
There it is.
A 50-point game in his farewell. Final minute 30. Bryant from 14 has 53. Rebound. Kobe's got the Lakers' last 10.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, Will T. Will T, what's going on, man? You're
nothing
here.
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
I'm good, bro. I mean, all in all, man. I mean, running good late. Enough, man. Yeah. I'm like, I have a life. I'm like, my perspective on life is a little different now nowadays since the passing of Kobe Bryant.
I mean, it's sad to see him go, but in his, you know, after his death, it's kind of telling of how people perceive life, right?
Yeah,
like how
sure.
Just how we go through the motions on a day-to-day basis, sometimes not having gratitude for the smallest things in life or for people for the people in our life. I hope this, you know, is an awakening for people to just, you know, be gracious and be thankful for what you have going on in your life and the people around you.
No, I totally agree. I think, you know, we all look at it like we have time. Right, we have time to do whatever, but at the end of the day, like you that's not given, you know. When you, so if you want to achieve something, you try, and if your goal is to achieve something, don't push it back to the side. If you have, you know, grudges with, you know, friends, family, or whoever, you know what I mean, just really calculate it. I mean, really break it down and dissect to see if it's even worth it, you know what I'm saying, to have it, because again, that person could be 86, you know, whatever, and
some people you just don't forget.
I'm not even, bro, we're not even talking about stuff like, I'm just saying in general, man.
I understand.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? Kendrick Perkins too.
I know,
right,
man. I'm just saying, wow, in general. I am. I ain't going to lie to you. It's the truth. I am. It's just that.
I mean,
you know,
that made sense for Kendrick Perkins because they're beefing over something.
That's asinine. That stuff was asinine.
Exactly. Yeah, but I just feel like the timing is very eerie. I mentioned earlier because you saw him and his daughter at games in the front row.
Yeah.
Not only that, LeBron breaks his record the night before.
I know. In Philadelphia,
then,
bro. In Philly.
Exactly. But then on top of that, you hear Tracy McGrady say that Kobe always said, I want to die young and be immortalized. Now,
crazy.
Tracy McGrady added
they were tight
that
too.
When Kobe had kids, that maybe his perspective changed, but he always said that. And what's interesting is somebody told me that they said, think about it. Let's say Kobe lived another 40 years, 2060. He dies at 81. They would say he scored 81 points.
Yeah.
It would be a little tribute, but he lived his life. Mm-hmm. But now the fact that he died so young, I mean, just the fact is, days of Kobe coverage, it's like this is what he envisioned. It's just weird.
Yeah.
But again, he had a family, and I'm pretty sure if he would have been able to answer that question, he'd probably say, no, I want to live for my girls. I want to see, you know,
that
Gianna
hurts,
play in the WNBA. You know, this is what I live for now, being a parent and being a husband.
Yeah.
However,
her passing hurts, though.
It really does. That was the part I was getting ready to go to next.
Yeah,
is that that's the part I did not want to believe, and I was hoping that it wasn't true. But in addition to her, you know, she had a couple teammates that lost their lives.
JUCO coach.
The coach, I think, had two other children that weren't with them, and his wife was there. I mean, it's just a horrible incident in general, and you know, it's so much to learn from it. But at this point, again, we're focusing on just celebrating the life of, obviously, the most prominent individual that was in the incident, and that's Kobe Bryant.
Definitely. So what will you remember about Kobe Bryant in terms of on the court?
In terms of on the court, his drive, his will, his tenacity, all-around game. Mm-hmm. You know, when we discuss, you know, some of the greatest players ever, you know, people will say, but, you know, they'll talk about a deficiency in their game.
Mm-hmm.
From an offensive perspective, Kobe really didn't have a deficiency in his game, right? You know, he could take you off the dribble, post you up, shoot the three, mid-range, distribute if he needs to. But so, you know, offensively, he's, you know, one of the greatest players ever. He's one of the greatest players ever, but just from a skill perspective.
Yeah, I think, yeah, to your point. No, I'm sorry, I didn't want to cut you off.
No, no, go ahead.
I think offensively, in terms of a score, he had everything you wanted. You know what I mean? Like you said, Wilty, mid-range, three ball, taking a player off the dribble, post-up. And, like, we talk about this with Jordan. We talk about this with many, you know, great all-time players. But, you know, that clutch gene, that kill gene, he had it. You know what I mean? He wasn't called Black Mamba for nothing. He had it. He had that drive. He had that drive as a youngster. You know what I mean? Like, at least having the confidence to say, you know what, I'm going to take this shot, and I don't care what happens. And he had that. And to me, I said this earlier, what he symbolizes to me is just hard work, man. Like, there are so many, we see it all the time. We watch the NBA or watch the college game. There are so many talented basketball players in the NBA, period. But his drive to be great, to be better than the next person, I mean, to me, I haven't seen it yet, to be honest with you. That type of drive.
My take is very similar. I think of the word ego. A lot of times we obviously can perceive that many different ways. However, with Kobe, he's playing with Shaq. Shaq is clearly the most dominant big man in the league and the most dominant player. You never saw anything like Shaq before. Mm-hmm. We can say we saw something similar to Kobe, right? We saw Jordan.
Yeah.
But in his mind, that was his team. The Lakers were his team. This is why he took those shots against Utah. And he didn't let that stop him from thinking. And even though Shaq gave him that pushback, rightfully so, he still said, nah, bro, this is my team. Mm-hmm. He was so crazy about winning that essentially, without trying, he drove Shaq out of town. Mm-hmm. He got his wish, and he struggled initially.
Yeah.
And he got help from Pau Gasol later on, but he had to prove that he could do it without Shaq.
And
he had to.
And he did. I mean, to his point is that he couldn't win a championship being the lead dog. You know what I mean? Whatever it took to do it, he got it done. You know what I mean? So he was the lead dog. He showed, you know what? I don't have to be Robin to win it. I don't need to be Robin to win a championship. I can do it being Batman. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, he won a championship, two championships with the Lakers being the guy.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, that's debatable to some degree. But again, just that mentality. And you see guys try to emulate that. Like RG3 said, I'm the best player in the league. This is after pretty much his career was spiraling out of control. Mm-hmm. You hear a lot of guys say that. And John Wall says it all the time. To me, I'm the best player in the NBA. Yeah. And we all say, what? Man, you're crazy. But Kobe, when he said it, it was a conviction.
He believed it.
And until it actually happened, he was going to keep making the effort. And LeBron would not be the hard worker he is today without Kobe.
Agreed.
He learned that from Kobe. And as a result,
even like folks,
Kobe,
like,
passed the torch without even realizing it.
I mean, people like Dwayne Wade, Carmelo, in terms of their craft, you know, they took it serious. You know what I mean?
Kevin Durant.
Right?
You know, it's a whole generation. It's a whole generation of players who may not have been old enough to see Jordan play, right? That are currently playing in the NBA now. Just the way that guys like our age revere Jordan, you know, their player, you know, there's a whole generation of people that revere Kobe. And look at Kobe Bryant is in their eyes, the greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
Here's what's refreshing. I'm in on this note. It's a positive note. And that's what I wanted in on. Mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant wanted to win. It wasn't about the money. It was about basketball. We see so many guys get in the league and they change completely who they are. They dress different. They look different. They're not about winning. We've seen guys in this city who you knew a championship wasn't their first priority.
Yeah.
Honestly. But that was his first priority. You never heard about Kobe being at the club, making it rain. He was true to being a sportsman. He was true to being a professional. And that's why it's a blessing that he was able to touch the guys he did. Because not everybody's like that. A lot of guys, obviously, they are about the lifestyle that the NBA provides. Now, it's great you can take care of your family. But what got you to this point? Mm. Being a good basketball player. And he continued that versus falling in, I think, into the poison of being a guy that now is rich and can get every woman he wants and can go out and shut the club down. He never did none of that stuff, man. Not saying that he probably didn't party. Of course he did. But I'm just saying he wasn't friends with nobody. Mm. He literally was all about basketball, man. And that's the great part, because you see that get lost on so many guys' career. And this is why so many guys who win the league aren't the top player, because once they get there, they know they made it and they're content. And they take on their lifestyle. And it's unfortunate, but he never did that.
Well said, well said. It's going to be tough. We're going to have to transition. We're going to do some Super Bowl talk. Super Bowl 54 after break. Listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
You
did? Brothers back. Doses. Yes, indeed. Mahomes.
Are
Lakers down one. Will Kobe give them one last gamer? Bryant on the move with the jumper. He got it! 58 points! And the Lakers lead!
Strategy. You got to go for the steal. You don't get the steal. You got to foul quickly.
Now he will come to the line for that 60.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, Ray Jeezy. Super Bowl 54 is going down. It will be between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. In your opinion, are these the two best teams?
I would say yes, because, you know, they've earned the right to participate in the Super Bowl. I'm kind of skeptical about. I'm not going to even say that, because San Francisco, you look at their victories, you know, look at the games that they played this year. All of them have been impressive for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Kansas City. You know, Baltimore was the team that you know, that the general public was really excited about. You know, everyone thought that this would be the Patrick Mahomes would have to wait another year to make it to his first Super Bowl. But just, you know, the way things played out, Kansas City's here now, and I'm excited for the game on Sunday.
Matchups, man. That's what, for the Ravens, matchups. That was a bad matchup for them. I think they're the two best teams. I think definitely to me the 49ers were the best team in the NFC throughout the whole season, the totality of the season. You look at the AFC, I guess arguably you could say the Ravens were the better team. But, you know, Kansas City didn't have Patrick Mahomes healthy throughout the season. So you could say with a healthy Patrick Mahomes, maybe their record would be slightly better anyway. But, yeah, I'm excited about this game. I like the contrast in styles. You have a high octane offense in the Kansas City Chiefs, and you got a stubborn defensive line front seven with the San Francisco 49ers. So I just think that in terms of contrasting of styles, this is going to make for an exciting Super Bowl.
If you had asked us in the beginning of the season who's going to go to the Super Bowl, many people picked Kansas City.
Yeah.
So Kansas City was expected to be here.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Obviously, Baltimore, the run they had, that was unexpected.
Yeah.
Nobody could have called them going 14-2, and it changed some minds, mm-hmm. Turned some heads. But the 49ers, if you would have asked any of us in the beginning of the season, with Garoppolo just coming back off injury,
yeah,
with a defensive coordinator that many in that fan base wanted fired, you would have said no. So the fact that they made it this far, and you see how the season played out in terms of a complete team, offensive and defensive, I feel like the 49ers have had the most impressive season.
Yeah.
However, when you watch San Fran play against the upper echelon teams like Baltimore and New Orleans, it's shootouts, though.
But they ball, though.
And they beat New Orleans by a field goal. They lost to the Ravens by a field goal. So my guess is it's going to be a tight one.
Yeah.
And it's going to come down to who wants it more. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid, to me, this is going to define him. He gets this. As you can see with Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, all it takes is one.
I know.
Andy Reid is a Hall of Famer if he wins this.
Yeah. I mean, being
this is what separates Andy Reid from Marty Schottenheimer if he wins this game.
I mean, you were an Eagles fan back in the day. Like, Andy Reid, like, do you agree with Ray? Like, will this, like, put Andy in, like, at that level in terms of Hall of Fame?
I already think he's already at that level, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. That's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. But as Ray said, will enhance his resume, mm-hmm. You know, getting your first title. Yeah. I agree. I'm going through my thoughts.
About coaches that, you know, haven't won a Super Bowl that has made the Hall of Fame, right? There's like, you have to win a Super Bowl to make the Hall of Fame as a coach, right?
Yeah, as a coach. I mean, for the most part, I can't think of a coach.
I can't either. I'm just.
I mean, I can think of some guys. Will T's guy, Jeff Fisher, could make the Hall of Fame because he's been a good football guy. He's been a good football guy everywhere he's been.
I guess as a coach, though, right?
I mean, well, see, I'm looking at it from this perspective. Like, Dungy was the guy that could not win a big one. As soon as he won with the Colts,
it's over.
That pushed him over.
Yeah.
Gruden only has won one. Everybody has their criticisms of him, but however, he got that one. Mike Shanahan, to be real, may not have been the greatest coach, but he's got two Super Super Bowls.
It's going to probably put him in the Hall eventually, though.
And then Dan Reeves didn't get one. Is he a Hall of Famer? See what I'm saying? Dan Reeves might be the exception. Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's a good one. See, Dan Reeves was a great coach, but he's not in the Hall. That's what I'm saying.
So this, to me, is what's going to push Andy Reid in. If he loses it, I could see him not getting into the Hall. I'm just saying.
You're listening to Urban Sports saying, all right, so real quick, the Super Bowl's in Miami. How much is that an issue when it comes to these players? It's in Miami, man. Miami.
Yeah, well, I think both teams have definitely. If you're the 49ers, you have Richard Sherman, a guy who's been there, done it. Mm-hmm. Who probably will talk to the guys and tell them, "Hey, this is our one opportunity. You never know how long you never know, you know, if you'll make it back here again, right?" Mm-hmm. From the Kansas City, what?
No, I'm just saying Kyle went with the Falcons, so you know there's another person with experience.
Oh,
go ahead,
Kyle.
Though.
Yes, right.
Let's
Kyle.
Not forget about that.
No, I mean just from a player perspective, it's different from your coaches telling you from then a player.
Manuel Sanders has been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, so you have like a guy who's a strong personality on that team who will communicate with his with the players in the locker room saying, "Hey, this is our one opportunity. Let's not blow this." Just from Kansas City's perspective, I don't know if they have, you know.
Any Nick Bashaw really? He about to go ham.
but then again, they do have Andy Reid, who if you listen to a lot of his former players, you know there isn't a guy who's played for him who doesn't respect him immensely.
Yeah.
And who doesn't think that he's a tremendous leader of men.
Yeah, Travis Kelce about to go ham, bro. I'm sorry.
Listen,
he's gonna be on Ocean Drive. He's gonna have
a good time again. You see the lifestyle these guys live. Tyreek Hill's the one I'm worried about. I'm serious, just because of his history. I'm just being real. But I remember the North Carolina Tar Heels defeating the Michigan State Spartans in the national championship. And Ty Lawson in Detroit, man, they were in the casino the night before.
Oh,
he was making bread. He was on the tables. Okay. He was breaking them. And he got on the court and he did his thing. It doesn't affect everybody. You don't want to obviously be Eugene Robinson.
That's what you don't want to be.
You don't want to be Eugene Robinson. And what you also need to remember is, as we are just seeing constantly, this is the day and age of social media. Everything's recorded. Don't put yourself in a compromising position.
Yeah. I'm still, it's Miami, though. Somebody give me.
I got the Chiefs, though, by the way. We ain't doing that now.
That's the next one. Look at you, premature, bro. No, we'll get to your prediction. And we know you got the Chiefs now. We'll get to your prediction. We'll continue this Super Bowl discussion after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Zone.
For ages. You dig? Deuces.
Utah will go up the floor with Hayward. 13 seconds left. Hayward on the drive. Layup no good. Rebound. Stoppage, and they have the chance. Lakers have six players on the floor, and Bryant will leave here.
Yeah, I'll take him out.
Around the building, there are plenty of cheers, also some tears. Some folks are misty-eyed and emotional. At this moment, Lyles misses, and the Lakers close out.
We come back. We come back for break, man. I won't hear this crap.
Whatever.
See that? Yes, I don't want.
Shout out to Tyler the Creator, by the way, who carried the word "urban" over the weekend. However,
I know,
you got to listen to the context of it.
Who watched Grammys?
Nobody.
I ain't watched
but
TV.
I just heard that go viral.
Kobe passed. I ain't gonna watch.
I was like, the urban sports scene. You know, is he trying to carry us through?
I think he did.
No, it's the context. It's the context of who uses the word "urban" and how you use it. That's it.
It was real.
It has nothing to do with us.
It was real, though.
Just letting our fans know. The name's not changing. That going.
It's not. Wole. You're right. It's not.
United. Sons.
I'm done with you. Don't do that, bro. Back to the Super Bowl. Who has the advantage? Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense or Nick Bosa and the Niners defense?
Can I just say this real quick,
go ahead,
man?
Go ahead, man.
On a Football Garbage Time podcast, and we made our appearance on there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was trying to tell them the Chiefs were going to Super Bowl. They was like, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? The Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah.
You
know, yeah
he
yeah.
was like going ham on me. And these playoffs.
On the what?
Football Garbage Time. These playoffs have been so unpredictable.
Subscribe to a podcast on iTunes, Twitter, and
These playoffs have been so unpredictable that it's really hard to make any type of prediction or forecast what's going to happen in this game. But to answer your question, I know Will T's about to go there. I think Mahomes and the Chiefs have the advantage for the simple fact that they were down 24-0 to the Texans and then got down 17-0 to the Tennessee Titans. And each game, they blew out these teams after being down, after spotting these guys so many points. So they had the advantage because they never out the game.
I agree with Ray that
of course you should.
that the Chiefs have the advantage from this perspective. When it comes, if we, you know, we look at historically what the defense that the 49ers play, which is a cover three, right? One single high safety. With all of the speed that Kansas City has on offense,
yeah, that's a problem.
It's going to be hard for San Fran's DBs to match up. Their wide receiver. Plus, do you put in Travis Kelce into the equation?
So much offense.
Yeah, so I think it's too much offense. The only thing that I would be concerned, and I'm not necessarily concerned about it anymore, is the play calling with Andy Reid. Sometimes he can get conservative, mm-hmm. but if we've noticed over the past couple of years, over the past 2 years specifically, with Eric Bieniemy as the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. you tend to see a lot of plays where they're trying to those big plays, you know, where they're throwing the ball at least 20 yards in the air down the field. So I got Kansas City all the way.
I have Kansas City offense, but I will say this: I do think that the Niners defense will have them struggling for the first half. I think the first half, maybe to the third quarter. I think the game will be super tight. But I think we both agree that it will be a tight game. Because again, this Niners defense will get pressure on Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes will be sacked a number of times. Bosa, Solomon Thomas. Thank you, bro. Solomon Thomas. These individuals, they rush the passer. I mean, that's a top of the line, talented D line. So, I mean, Mahomes won't be able to extend multiple plays like we've seen in the past. But again, like Will T said, the speed is a problem, man. Richard Sherman is better with bigger wide receivers. Tyreek Hill is shifty and just, you know, blazing speed. You got Sammy Watkins Jr. You have the what's the rookie too? The kickoff return.
Mecole Hardman.
Oh my God, super fast. You got him. You got Travis Kelce. There's so much speed that defense has to attend for four quarters. So eventually, right, they're gonna let up, man. They don't get big plays, and the Niners. The Niners will have to score the football enough to keep up with the Chiefs. And, you know, Garoppolo can't throw the ball eight times and think he's going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Here's why both you guys are incorrect. Because we're talking about what everybody knows already. Seriously.
Yeah, real talk.
If it comes down to this scenario, let's just say the 49ers had the ball last.
Can the
Chiefs defense step
up? Good point. No,
because all season they've been inconsistent and they've been the question mark on this team. It's not the offense. We know what the offense can do.
Yeah, that's true.
And Stephen A's word, we know what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table. We know what he's going to do. He's going to ball him and them boys. You know, I don't know nobody's name, but we know that.
Yeah.
But can the Kansas City defense play well enough to win a Super Bowl? That's going to be the biggest question. We could be wrong. We know the 49ers are good enough to win. We know that Kyle Shanahan is a great offensive mind, and he can pick this defense apart. And that's why I'm scared to just definitively say, you know what, hands down, man down, Kansas City's got this game. Nah, heck no. We got to see if that defense is good enough because they show flashes, but then again, they've been inconsistent.
So here's, to me, another key that no one's brought up.
Take that.
It's not even major. That's I mean most people haven't even thought about. But
special teams.
Jimmy Garoppolo, his propensity to turn the ball over.
He does. Yeah, that's
right.
He does.
Field position is going to be key, and if he makes turnovers and he puts Kansas City. And a plus position, right, where they have a short field, then the game could get out of hand very quickly. Mm. If you ask me, because that allows
Pat Mahomes a short field.
That on you know when when that allows Kansas City's pass rushers to get after Jimmy Garoppolo and put him in a position where he has to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game.
Mm, that's going to be scary for San Fran.
Well, I will say, I mean, Ray mentioned Kansas City's defense. I know, right? Kansas City's defense. I mean, it is a defense. I think that Kyle Shanahan's running game can't advantage of exploit. Thank you. Definitely. That's the scary part about it.
It's very scary. I made you think about it. Tell the truth.
You did. I ain't gonna lie. Real talk.
For the conspiracy theorists out there, there is no New England. So who does the NFL want to win? Do they want to see Andy Reid get a title? Or do they want to see the young, good-looking quarterback who left New England, who Belichick didn't want to get rid of? Yeah. It's the storylines. Because New England benefited from so many calls. New England benefited. They were able to overcome cheating. You see what happened to the Astros as soon as they got caught, right, Will? But New England has gotten away with so much. The NFL is behind some of this, too. So for those guys out there, I'm with you, too. I don't know what's going to happen. I just want to enjoy the football. My team isn't there, so it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But
doesn't matter at all.
I know that there are some folks out there who don't trust the NFL, and I don't blame you.
So who do you have winning and why?
I have Kansas City. I just gave you all of the reasons why
you
I think
sure
Kansas
did,
City.
Man.
And check one thing.
Who's going to be Super Bowl MVP? Pat Mahomes?
No. Damian Williams.
Okay.
Running back for the Chiefs.
why you make that look right? Ray got that.
I think they're going to utilize him in the passing game a lot.
That would be dope. I ain't gonna lie.
Damian Williams.
Who do you have, Ray?
I have the Chiefs for
who's
the simple
gonna
fact.
Who's going to be Super Bowl MVP too?
Dang on.
My bad, bro.
Why you add that on?
I just had to.
Super Bowl MVP. I'll go with Mahomes. I mean, that's the obvious choice because he's what makes the squad go. Mm-hmm. Without Mahomes, are they there? If Alex Smith is still the quarterback there, are we having this discussion?
It's the Alex Smith Bowl. This is what it is.
I know. It's terrible. So, yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs, but again, just because they're never out of the game and you can never let up. Kyle Shanahan has a history of letting up in the Super Bowl. So, I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Atlanta saltiness. I'm going to go with the Chiefs, too. I'm going to go out the box. I'm going to go with Sammy Watkins Jr. for Super Bowl MVP. Something different. Yeah. Tyreek Hill.
Anything can happen, man.
But Saturday night, Danny Garcia made easy work of Ivan Redcatch. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Show.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
In any sport, at any time, authored by one of the NBA's all-time greats, Kobe Bryant, 60 points, 23 in the fourth quarter of his farewell game.
Man, guys, you know, it's I can't believe how fast 20 years went by. I mean, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. And, you know, to be standing here at center court with you guys, my teammates behind me, and appreciating all this, you know, the journey that we've been on. You know, we've been through our ups and been through our downs, and I think the most important part is that we all stay together throughout. You know, I grew up a diehard, I mean a diehard Laker fan. Diehard. I mean, I knew everything about every player that's ever played here. So to be drafted and then traded to this organization and to spend 20 years here, I mean, you can't write something better than this. And I'm more proud of
you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, and you also listen to the great Kobe Bryant, man. His last game of his career, 61 points. So you already know. Kobe, RIP, my man.
Eric Montrose sighting in a Kobe highlight, man. It's amazing.
All right, Saturday night on Showtime, welterweight Danny Garcia defeated Ivan Redcatch by unanimous decision. Were you impressed with Garcia's work in the ring?
No, not necessarily. Against the level of competition, Danny Garcia didn't look that much greater than Redcap. He didn't look like the Danny Garcia that we saw, you know, in his previous fights, you know, with that killer left hook. You know, his footwork looked really good. His balance looked good, but he lacked that oomph power, the power, you know, on some of his power shots. So against the level of competition, he did not look great, if you ask me, especially for a guy who says he wants either Errol Spence Jr. next or Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a problem the way he fought. I thought in terms of, you know, I thought he wasn't countering as much. I mean, he did counter. He's an excellent counter puncher. But I thought he was kind of bringing the fight toward Redcatch. But, I mean, I thought he was going to knock him out a couple of times. Redcatch kind of caught his composure. But he was game, though. Also, Redcatch was game, though. I liked his heart, even though he didn't have, to me, the skill level to be there with a Danny Garcia. I did kind of, I appreciated his ability to stick it out there and take punches, because he did take punches and he was about that fight.
I agree, but like Will T said, he didn't get hit with any brutal shots. Like, remember,
the power
Errol Spence fighting Mikey Garcia, you were like, dang, Mikey Garcia is getting hit hard.
Yeah.
In this fight, he was losing every face. Clearly, he was the inferior fighter, but he didn't get hit with shots that, in my opinion, that were out of the ordinary or were Deontay Wilder-esque. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to describe what type of power I'm looking for. Now, has Danny Garcia ever been the most powerful puncher? No, but to me, if you put him in the ring with like a Sean Porter, like when he fought Sean Porter, he fought hard.
He was throwing
some hard shots. So I think he kind of fought to his level of competition. I think he cruised to a victory. At the end of the day, you know his ego. He wants to look clean at the end of the fight.
Yeah.
So I don't think really he was worried about it. He just wanted to make sure he did what he had to do to get that big fight, and he earned it. So my guess is it's going to be Pacquiao, though. He's not ready for Spence yet, and Spence probably won't take that fight next anyway. That's my thought.
I don't know. It's an interesting fight if he fights Pacquiao, though. It's interesting.
It is an interesting fight, but I don't necessarily think Pacquiao selects him next, even though, you know, this was an eliminator fight.
Mm-hmm.
I could potentially see Pacquiao.
You going Floyd?
Mm-mm. Mikey Floyd? Garcia.
Oh. Mikey? That's a better one, too.
I think that's, you know,
From Manny.
For Manny Pacquiao, for Manny. You know, at 140, if he's going to, you know, because he's staying at 147. I don't know if Mikey Garcia plans on going back. I know his last fight was at 147.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he plans on going back to 140 or 135, mm-hmm. but. I think a Manny Pacquiao versus Mikey Garcia fight would be an outstanding fight.
I think for Danny Garcia, the best fight for him, maybe he should go back rematch style.
No, the best fight for him is Terrence Crawford, right? If you can't get...
Oh, yeah, you're talking money? Okay, yeah.
Terrence Crawford ain't going to fight him, though. Just like he refused to fight
Sean Porter.
I don't know. I can't say it. I understand.
I understand. But, you know, for me, if you are Terrence Crawford and, you know, Errol Spence Jr. is not that's the big money fight. That's the fight that you both know that a year, let's be realistic. We're not getting that fight this year.
No,
we'll probably get it next year or at the earliest. Right. But if you are Terrence Crawford, from a negotiation standpoint, you're at a disadvantage because Errol Spence Jr. has fought. The level of competition has been higher.
Mm-hmm.
Take the fight against Danny Garcia.
Well, how come you should have took the fight against Sean Porter?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't even get like
offered because he wouldn't look good against.
But I'm just saying you complain. But this is my thing. You troll so hard on social media, bro. Like, you troll so hard. You talking about these dudes ain't fighting nobody too. You get Sean Porter on your resume. Who just fought Sean Porter?
Errol Spence.
Exactly. All right, you want to fight who?
Errol Spence.
All right, he done showed you I can beat Sean Porter. Fight Sean Porter. Yep. Beat Sean Porter.
To be the
now
man.
Now your brand looks better. Now you have more of a bargaining chip if you destroy Sean Porter. But my thing is like, it's just that he talks so much and all this trolling.
When he know the business.
And you know the business,
bro. He know it.
Like, stop it. Like. And then you try and say, oh, man, I'm trying to fight Errol now. Errol just had a car accident. You really think that's a legit real
Errol
fight?
Errol was about to fight Mikey before the accident.
He's about to fight Danny Garcia before the accident.
I mean, Danny, my bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, my thing about, like, that's my thing about Bud. It's like, we all know Bud is super talented. We all know pound for pound, Bud is one of the best boxers in the game, period. Arguably, pound for pound, the best boxer in the game. But I don't need to hear all this. Like, y'all keep clowning me because I'm on top rank, and y'all keep saying I ain't fighting nobody. I'm making folks look bad. They throwing you Sean Porter, bro. They throwing you Sean Porter. That would be your best opponent you've seen.
Maybe he accepts a fight with Danny Garcia, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be good. That's an interesting fight.
It is.
You put that fight at the Barclays Center.
Oh, you selling? You selling.
You selling it out.
Both promoters
working. In June.
And that's a 50-50 split, you ask me.
It is. It is. It's a 50-50 split.
Yeah,
but
is.
Arrow isn't, and that's what they can't accept right now. That's what Bob Arum is in denial about. And Bob Arum talking about Conor McGregor. Like, Bob Arum is he's not
no
about
one,
he's not
no
about
one
no one's done everyone's done with
saying,
that
he,
angle, man.
He's not about helping his fighters, man. I'm telling you, I don't understand why guys go to
I understand why Fury did it, but
for Terrence to re-up, I still
I can't make no sense.
But this is the thing, though, which you're not taking into consideration. Over the last 25
beforehand,
maybe 30 years prior.
Who's that dude?
No, yeah, Bob Arum has built the biggest names in boxing.
Yeah.
You think about it, Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather, Miguel Cotto, Manny Pacquiao, where'd they all start? They were all under
top
rank.
No,
they
I agree.
They were all top rank fighters. So he knows. Yeah, I said that. So he knows how to position those fighters early in their career and kind of build them up and make them one of the.
Sometimes.
Until one of the bigger attractions in boxing. And you think about it. What?
No, no. Go ahead. I'm just.
Now,
I'm
outside of, you know, Canelo and now, you know. I don't think Errol Spence is.
No, it's only Canelo. You talk about
the biggest draws, it's only Canelo. Right? Out of the, you know, guys that have become the biggest draws over the past 25 years, you know, only Canelo, and Canelo went with Golden Boy. Yeah. So Bob Arum has a track record of developing guys to be stars, right? Being the biggest pay-per-view draws.
Absolutely. I agree. But to me, his time has passed.
Yeah.
And to me, you have to evolve. You know what I'm saying? You cannot have this ego all the time. You're not going to bend. You have to, especially if you want to continue to make your business, you know, prosperous and profitable. You have to make amends. He does not want to admit that Al Haymon is on his level.
So this is the thing that I think fans get confused at. The promoter works for
the
boxer.
Agreed.
So whenever, guys can go on social media, go on any forum they want and say,
if you want that fight,
you know, these guys don't want to fight me. The reality is, if you tell your promoter, this is who I want. I want this fight next, or I want this fight within the next two fights.
Yeah.
Your promoter and your management team most likely will go out and try to negotiate in good faith.
Prime example, look at Mikey Garcia. Like he said, he wanted Errol Spence. That wasn't a smart, in terms of business-wise, that wasn't a smart fight. But he wanted it, right?
Right.
Mikey wanted it. Like, Deontay Wilder is a prime example, too.
Yeah.
He got Fury. Like, he's trying to fight the big names. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like
when it comes to all it, you know, and we've seen Errol Spence and we've seen Terrence Crawford interact with each other, you know, on tape, on social media.
They got a deal.
The reality is the fight isn't big enough from a monetary perspective.
It's not.
To where it can be.
Yeah.
Right? So that fight will happen in a year and a half.
And that's why I'm saying, like, why not fight and knock off like a Sean Porter? It makes the fight bigger.
I mean, maybe it's not enough money involved. I don't know. Maybe. You know, I don't know. But you know, if you asking me,
Danny,
you know, if you Terrence Crawford, who's a guy that's out there that's a big name, a guy who's accomplished in boxing at 147 that you could fight next. Danny Garcia is the guy.
Yeah,
if you want to build up your brand and your cachet, right? To, you know, and you want people to look at you as one of the, you know, he's already pound for pound one of the biggest fighters. But if you want to start to do that, to cross over into mainstream,
definitely,
right? Danny Garcia, that would be the fight.
Because arguably, Danny Garcia, you can make the argument that he's really undefeated because his last couple, because of how close the Porter fight and also the Keith Thurman fight. You can say that, he's undefeated. You can make that argument. So, I mean, if Bud, you know, can get that fight, he should take that fight. He shouldn't hesitate. So, you all think that would be a 50-50 fight, right?
Absolutely. But right now, if you were to fight Earl, it's not. That's the problem. And that's something that Bob Arum won't acknowledge. But anyway, it's a wrap.
It is. It definitely is. But did y'all see the Jared Hurd fight?
I did.
So what do you think about Jared Hurd? What do you think about that fight for him?
That's what he's supposed to do.
He did what he was supposed to do. He boxed, stayed behind the jab, fought a smart fight, didn't give people the action fight that they wanted them to, you know, that they wanted to see coming off of the loss to J-Rock Williams. I'm curious to know if the fight against J-Rock would be your the next fight that you will pursue.
I know. That's going to be hard to see. It's all messed up now.
They had a rematch clause that was stated, and they were supposed to fight in December, but Jerry Hurd broke away from his trainer, and he didn't have a trainer in time for him that he felt comfortable with to, you know, get himself back in condition in the gym and fight in December. What, you know, I think a good fight for him to take would be the Julian Williams fight. Take that next. Take that fight around July. You know, July, June. You know, Julian Williams coming off the loss. Now, I don't know if there's a rematch clause.
That's what I'm talking about for J-Rock.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But if there isn't,
Take that fight
next. Definitely.
All right, man, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Any words about the great Kobe Bryant before we dip off on this show?
I don't think I'm going to say anything that's profound that hasn't been said about him already. Mm-hmm. All I can say is, you know, what he embodied will forever live on. You know, I think the standard that he set will forever live on. And I think that his, you know, last few years in the NBA is what people will remember him both most for, you know, giving back to the game, and then also his post-NBA life, definitely. You know, on top of all the accolades he achieved.
Yeah, definitely. And what he did for, like, female basketball, and with his daughter, training his daughter, his team, his little camps and whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, that 13-year-old Gigi Bryant. My prayers goes out to the family. Again, at least, I mean, she's with her dad in heaven, or, you know what I mean? So, hopefully, again, folks can think of the families that were involved, especially some of the media outlets. You know, have them in their minds, because, you know, whatever you put out there, man, just know it's gonna have it can have an effect on those families. But again, man, great Kobe Bryant, gone too soon. Was becoming an ambassador of the game of basketball. Did so much for some of the young talent in the NBA. Jason Tatum comes to mind, Kyrie Irving. Many other players. So again, man, Kobe, you won't be forgotten. And Ray, you have anything you want to say, or you want me to close this thing out? All right, Ray's done. All right, man, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Thing
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.